Bienvenue to the Two Chance Podcast, a show dedicated to the belief that you can never have too many bikes in the garage and it's always a good day for a ride. And now, here are the Two Chance.
Oh, recording in progress.
All right. Welcome to the Two Jones Podcast. I'm John.
Got it. I'm John.
You're being recorded. You're being recorded. You ever see the Pixies? You ever go to a Pixies show?
I have.
Don't they just like show up and just like, hello, where are the Pixies? All right, next song. There's no shenanigans. It's just they get to it.
That monkey went to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that might be this podcast.
Let's hope so.
Maybe not. We tend to go stream of consciousness.
Yeah. So welcome back, everybody, to our missives and rantings and ravings. Did you watch the World Championships of professional cycling, John?
I did not watch the Man's Road World Championships of professional cycling, unfortunately.
How about the woman's?
I did not watch the woman's either. I know I'm a bad cycling fan, but I do know that we have the new boss is the same as the old boss.
Yeah. Alaphilippe was hit. They said he had jumping beans in his bib shorts.
En fuego.
He was on En fuego. I watched it. I watched the women's too. And I watched U23 or is it U25?
I thought it was 23.
U23. It was good. I liked it.
It sounded like an interesting course. They had cobbles. They had hills. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like Flanders gets to host the world. It's like every other year, the world seems to be in Verona.
Well, no, it hadn't been in Verona for a long time. It's been Rio and...
Rio?
Denmark won, or not Rio. And where all the crashing was happening. Oh, no, that was the Olympics. Never mind.
Yeah, that was the Olympics. But the world, yeah, it's like every other year, it seems like it's in Italy. But it doesn't get to...
How about when it's in Qatar?
Oh.
With no spectators.
Yeah. but it sounded kind of cool. I mean, it sounded like a... spring fall classic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of
spring fall classics with cobbles, Paris-Roubaix is being run in a couple of weeks. Not the springtime race, but the fall time race.
Right. Everything's the race of the falling leaves this year.
My pick is Peter Sagan.
Oh, okay.
That's not your pick.
You think he's so? That's not your pick. So that's kind of a loaded statement. Do you think he's done?
No.
Yeah, he's got it all in the tank. All right.
Yeah. And as I had to drive 1,000 miles in the last 5 days,
and I would drive 1,000 miles.
I listened to two outstanding audiobooks. The second being, because it has to do with what we're talking about, Peter Sagan's autobiography. My World by Peter Sagan.
I bet that is kind of interesting.
Really interesting. Really, really, really. I'm trying to look to see when it was written. I guess it was written in 20... published. It just says when it was added to the library, but it goes all the way through 2018. So he must have written it in 2019.
Wow.
It goes through when he did win Paris-Roubaix in 2018. Remember that?
Yeah.
When he adjusted his stem with the 4mm Allen key on the fly.
And that's in that. Does he go into how that?
Yeah. Hmm. It's a really interesting read, or it was audiobook, so I listened to it. The guy is, and he goes, you know, of course, the Cavendish crash and the disqualification from the tour while he was in the green jersey.
Yeah.
Talks a lot about his brother and his family, and just he's a very serious guy, but his like motto is like, why so serious? Like he is disciplined, I guess, but he's not so into his head that he doesn't have any fun. Like he's a very intriguing character and young. Just, I mean, he was so successful, so young. Also talks about riding the Olympics mountain bike.
Yeah. Remember that? I do remember that. And he was a little bit back.
He was back. He had no points. He had back row start.
Yeah.
Flatted twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you only have so much in the tank. Even Peter Sagan.
Mm-hmm. But that was good. So sure, Peter Sagan, he could win worlds, I suppose. Right. He also talks about, you're going to appreciate this. When he rode for Liquigas,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it was after Liquigas when he rode for Cannondale, Bobby Julich was foisted upon him as a coach. Like, this is your coach.
Yeah.
And he said it drove him crazy.
Oh, Julich, really?
Oh, Julich was like, how did you sleep? What color is your piss? What does your stool smell like? How many calories did you eat? Just henpecking him. What are your numbers? What are your sensations? And he said it just drove him bananas. And
oh, I can imagine.
He doesn't really speak ill of many people in the book. He does speak ill of the Tinkoff PR guy. But Bobby Julich rubbed him the wrong way.
The wrong way. One time guest on the Two Johns podcast, Bobby Julich.
Right. That's right. Okay. So I listened to that book, and it's called My World by Peter Sagan. And he wrote it. I think he wrote it in 2019. He's not even, I guess he's just turned 30 years old.
Okay. So I have to ask, were you in the company of the fair Mrs. G?
When?
When you were listening to this book.
No, no. I was listening in my headphones.
Okay.
With my father taking a nap.
Okay.
In the passenger seat. No. Oh, shoot. I already deleted the other book. It was a recently written book because they kept talking about it was the 30th anniversary. So I think it was written in 2019. And it was a book written by a Brit about the 1989 Tour de France, the 8 seconds.
Okay.
The Fignon-Le Monde.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you think you know everything about that race, but he goes stage by stage, backstory of like people who won stage. I'd forgotten like Perigo wore the yellow jersey. I'd also forgotten that was the year that Pedro Delgado missed his start by 2 minutes and 42 seconds or whatever it was. And ended up coming back. Mm. And he finished third. And he was at 2 minutes and 50. Like somebody was like, you're going to be the only person to ride like pedal fewer minutes, but not win.
Right.
And he just missed that. Like the final day's time trial, Delgado went slowly. And some speculate that it's because he didn't want to be stuck with like, oh, you could have won.
Right. All that speculation. I was reading that there were some that speculate that Alaphilippe did not really want to wear the rainbow jersey for another year.
Huh. I haven't heard that. Why wouldn't he want to wear the rainbow?
It's just all the expectations and all the pressure, you know.
Hmm. I don't know. Seemed like he was trying pretty hard to win.
Or he was trying so hard to not win.
I don't buy that. I think he wanted to win. He's like one of like six people to win back to back.
Yeah.
And Sagan, remember, I only know all this because I just listened to the audio. He won back to back to back.
Right. He was three. Although I wonder if you go back through the stats. So I always think Johnny Bugno, repeat world champion early 90s. I think what, 90 and 91?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 91, 92. Frera was back to back, then Sagan and Alaphilippe. Mm-hmm. Certainly not Luc LeBlanc. Certainly not. Who's the? Why am I drawing a blank on the Frenchman with the mullet?
Brochard? No, not
Brochard. Yes, Laurent Brochard.
Laurent Brochard.
So who are the other? Who are the other best? So that's, let's see. I think that's four right there. Who are the other two? I don't know
because I think. Yeah, I guess Merckx would have to be one. Henny Kuiper didn't do it back to back. Was
Coppi
Mosier?
I don't think he was back to back. All right. We're going to have to Google this.
Do the Googles?
Yes.
And I think that... Well, Cavendish, he wasn't back to back.
No, he only won one.
Right. And then he crashed in Yorkshire.
Yes, the Shire.
Vina Kurov. Remember when Vina, that's when Vina Kurov won. Oh, that was wonderful.
Right. Hmm.
But, LeMond. No, he didn't win back to back, but did win the Worlds in 89 after the, so that Le Mans book, it starts off with the description of the hunting accident and the medevac rescue and how close he really was to dying. He had a pneumothorax. He had a collapsed lung, 60 pellets in the myocardium, in the lining of his heart. People who had seen his back describe it as just completely pockmarked. You know, he's shot in the back.
Yeah. It's like going hunting with Bob Knight.
Or your brother-in-law in that case.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You know what? I don't know that I can find it. I thought I could find it pretty easy. Maybe I need to just go Wikipedia.
It does, of course, go into great detail about why, and they draw on interviews from José de Cauer, who was ADR's director sportif, and Cyril Guimard, who was Super U's director, and, you know, of course, riders and teammates, and even Laurent Fignon's own autobiography. And the decision that was made, like why he didn't use aero bars in the last day, why LeMond, LeMond and Hampston had used aero bars in the Tour de Trump. That was the first year for Tour de Trump in 1989. And they really were hesitant to use them because they didn't want to tip their hand, you know, like to show everybody how great they were.
Mm-hmm.
But the 7-Eleven team and LeMond used them at the time trial in the States in 89 at Tour de Trump. And then LeMond did well in the Giro, I think, in one time trial. And this was sort of like a he who shall not be named comeback because he hadn't raced in like 2.5 years. He was out. People had totally written him off, LeMond. He's riding for this, you know, low budget Belgian team with no real support staff around, no support riders around him. And of course, Super U, you know, Cyril Guimard and high powered. So, the equipment choice on the last day, Glenn Pettyjohn was also in the car for the tour with Jose De Cower, the director, because Le Mans signed a deal with Coors Light to race for Coors Light in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And it also supplemented sponsorship and brought some more money to Le Mans. So Pettyjohn was there, and he's heavily quoted in this book. And he, like, Pettyjohn wanted him, Le Mans, to ride a front disc on the last day. And Le Mans's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, Pettyjohn was like, you have to run a front disc. And Le Mans refused because the technology back then was not great. And it was just like a big sail and would blow you over. So Le Mans didn't ride a disc. He rode a rear disc, but not a front disc.
Yeah, nobody really. I mean, it's not that common to run a front disc even today.
It was back then. Like, they were riding those funny bikes.
Yeah, that's true.
But Le Mans had the aero bars by Boone Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
Aero helmet, rear disc. Fignon ran. I think Fignon had the double disc. I think
He did have the double disc, and it looked so good.
Yeah.
It looked so good.
Well, didn't he lost. He was leading. Okay, so I can't do the math on the fly, but he was 52 seconds ahead of Le Mans going into that final time trial. And Le Mans finished 8 seconds ahead of him. So, and it was only a 15-mile time trial.
And you know what? Stamp the mold for dorky-looking bicyclists then. Fignon had those double discs, looked so good, the ponytail, he had the Cartier glasses. I mean, it's pretty sharp.
Well,
everybody
looking
lost.
Fast and going fast.
Okay, John, here we go. The interwebs comes through. Georges Rance. Okay. In 1928, in 1928 Budapest, and then in 29 in Zurich for Belgium.
Wow.
One back to back.
Okay.
All right. Then we go. Now we're getting into a bit of a more modern time. 1956 Copenhagen, Rick van Steenbergen.
And Steenbergen?
Steenbergen. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And he beat. So in 56, it was a Belgian, Dutch. So Rick van Looy. I don't know if that's how you actually say it, but and then in 57 in Belgium, or I guess that, yeah, it is Belgium, but I think isn't Waregem, is that that is Wallonia, isn't it?
I don't know.
He beat Louison Bobet. Uh-huh. So there's our first two back-to-backs. Actually, we have in 1960 another Belgian, the same Rick van Looy. In 1960, Karl Marx Stott, and then in Bern, Rick van Looy. So that's three. I think our numbers may be wrong. So that's three. Did somebody have an asterisk by their name?
Maybe it was.
Oh, you know what? I know what it is.
It's non-professional.
It's not. No. You know who was never back-to-back world champion?
Who?
The Cannibal. We just assumed that.
Oh, okay.
He was never back-to-back Cannibal. He's always back-to-back Cannibal. He was never back-to-back world champion.
Okay.
That's kind of interesting. As dominant as he was. Mm-hmm. For back-to-back world champion. And then we get to the Bugno, Frera. Oh, you know who else? You know, I totally forgot about this. Is this right? You know who else was back-to-back world champion?
Italian?
He wore gold shoes. And his name is not Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
I think he's known as the cricket
No, but he wore gold shoes because of the Olympics.
That's true. Well, wait a minute. No, I don't think so. He didn't win the Olympics.
Who?
Bettini.
Yeah, I think he won the Olympics. And he was the one who started the gold piece of kit.
The gold thing?
Oh. Yeah, because whoever won the Olympics before Bettini tried to incorporate the Olympic rings into the jersey, and the IOC was like, no. You can't. We control all that. So Bettini did the gold shoes, and then Van Avermaet did the gold helmet.
Huh. Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess he did win the gold.
Yeah, he started that whole gold thing.
Oh, right. Because so he had to have been 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
2000 gold Olympic road race. Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Because we've talked about Pascal Richard and his gold rings on his shoulders,
and he got in trouble for it.
Yeah, he was 96,
and that was the first year that they let professionals race in the Olympic road race. Prior to that, it was, you know, Alexei Graywall. He was not pro,
right? Yeah, because there were no pros. Oh, and you know what? I was wrong. That's so even though Freire was 3-time world champion, they were never back to back. They were interrupted by Cipollini and Roman Weinsteins.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do you know where Freire won his first world championship? Same place he won his third.
Well, so that would be not Spain. It's
Verona.
Verona? Oh, you're right. That's
always
Verona.
All right.
Okay, so enough of the history lesson.
And your books. I appreciate hearing about those books.
Very good.
I'll have to look those up. I didn't know. Is the Peter Sagan book widely available? Audiobook?
It was at my public library.
Wow. Does he read it? Is it read?
No. It's read by some British dude.
Mm.
I wonder what language it was written in. Because I assume it's a translation, but there are a lot of, and I don't know how many languages Sagan speaks, but I don't think it was written in English.
Okay. All right. It sounds interesting. Is it hard to follow? And how long of a listen is it?
Well, let's see here.
Did you go double speed or 1.5?
No. Nope. Let's see. Overview. It doesn't tell you. Table of contents. It doesn't tell you the length on my app here. I don't know. It was probably 7 or 8 hours.
Oh, that's fairly long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a fluffy, like I was assuming it was going to be some dumb book, but it wasn't. It was very interesting.
Something like it's not about the mountain bike.
Yeah.
I mean, the pilot talks that long on a 4-hour ride.
It was added to my library on September 20th. Oh, no, it was added to, I don't know when it was added to the public library. But it was written in 2019. All right. So what else is going on, John?
Oh, not much. I think since we last podcasted, I did the Belgian wafer ride. I didn't do
full
waffle.
Right. So let's hear about this.
Are you, so would you ever do a gravel event?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was a big event. You know, it was kind of interesting because there's lots of gravel events around Western Carolina. And this one seemed to be like a little bit of a notch up as far as production.
Right. Well, we've heard from the Murph about the production.
Yeah, I was
and John Murphy.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, and it was cool. It was cool. Wasn't quite so chunky as some of our other events, but it was still cool. Good to see. You know, good to see some top level talent. And I think that Diamond Dave Toll was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that automatically raises the level right there.
It fancies it up a little bit. Were you like racing it or did you?
I'll tell you, John.
Did you unleash the beast?
I was racing as hard as I could, but I'm not vying for any top spots. No. Mm-hmm.
But it was an effort.
Yeah. Oh, it was an effort. Yeah. It was very much an effort. It's hard. I mean, the thing is that you did this and like toward the end is a very, very steep climb. Mm-hmm. Although it's paved, it's a steep climb and you're just about done at that point. You're like, oh, come on.
how long a climb?
It's about a mile and a half. You and I have ridden down it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about a mile and a half and it's pretty steep. I think it like tops out at like 21% mm-hmm. Pitch. And there's just a couple really steep, kind of prolonged steep parts.
Yeah. And you've ridden on all the terrain and trails.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had ridden all those. Not in the connecting order that they were in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always different. You do it just on a ride. It's different than doing an event when you have a number on your back.
And you started in a horde of other people at like,
yes,
Oh Dark 30.
Yeah. Well, no, it's some like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or something like that.
And how long was your discipline?
I think it was like, 60 some miles.
Wow.
But you know, it took me 3-something hours.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You
I was okay. I mean,
you represented.
Yeah, I represented. but man, it was hard and it's hot. It, you know, so it's hot, it's humid,
uh-huh.
All those things.
Now,
some miscreant went around and took signs off the road.
Oh, so people would go the wrong way.
Yeah.
Somebody who is unhappy.
Somebody who has issues. I even though I ride all those roads all the time, I was like, oh, that road, every other gravel event we do goes down that road. I wonder why this one went.
So you went off course?
Yeah. Yeah. There, a lot of people did. I mean, it's unfortunate, but yeah. They eventually put somebody there, I guess, and like, turn here.
Uh-huh. Now
I'll tell you this. So the first wave was the full Belgian waffle ride. I thought it was like 105 miles or something like that. Yeah. I don't really have interest in being on my bike that long. But by the first like real climb, so we started 10 minutes back, we were catching people, like a lot of people from that group. Uh-huh. And all I could think is, whoa, that's fine. I mean, that's a long day.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. There's some stops. You can get snacks.
So speaking of stops and snacks, like it's a ride, it's a race, it's an accomplishment, it's an experience. But the people at the front
stopping. No, they're not stopping. I mean,
well, No, I think they do stop. And that's my question. Like you see the onboard footage or you see people's recaps of the ride. And there is And that was my question. That if you saw it, like, so you're battering each other, racing, trying to drop each other, but then you come to the aid station and there's like an agreement. Okay, we're going to stop.
Yeah,
and it's fill our bottles.
It's not at every stop, though. I mean, that's probably what I should say. So, like, they're not stopping at the 30 mile.
Yeah, but do they? But there's like a collective agreement. We're going to stop here. We're going to give everybody a chance to fill their bottles, and then we're going to go again.
Yeah, for the most part. For the most part, I don't think that's necessarily considered. I didn't do, as I said, I didn't do the 100 whatever mile one. I would guess that the agreed that sort of neutralization is maybe at the midpoint, and then I would guess after that it's not.
So how about the I saw this, all these people interviewed females. What do you think about, should it be separated? Because like the whole hubbub about females only racing against females, or is it open like it is now? I think it's
totally open now.
It's open now.
It's like everybody, boom, go.
Right. But people getting help, like getting paced by somebody who's not intending to do the whole ride, and women were kind of getting upset, but other women who are getting paced along. And some women are very, some people are very strongly, it should be open. This is, it's equal. It's a good test for everybody. Why separate it? And then other women I read saying, oh no, we want to compete against each other and not be intermingled. And then they brought up the thing about, you know, women getting paced and that kind of thing, and how men ruining it.
Right, because one former disgraced cyclist has a team that is
Floyd.
Floyd. No,
let me go down the list. Is it Floyd? No. Okay.
One of the roster.
George?
No.
He's not disgraced. That's right. I don't know how.
Really?
He's not.
Are you sure?
Well, not, I don't know. I mean, he seems to be doing pretty well.
I don't know. When I look at the list, his name's on that. So
yeah. Let's see. Okay, who other disgraced? Keel LaGrange?
No. He does not have a co-ed gravel team.
Let's see. Who else can we...
Levi
Leipheimer.
So somebody in Colorado, somebody who's in Colorado.
Tyler Hamilton.
Yeah. No. I don't think he has a gravel team. So there was a lot of hubbub about that. But it's the whole thing is wading into the murky waters, because, you know, last week I almost thought we needed to have an emergency podcast because the UCI. Announced that they're like, oh, you know what? We're going to have Gravel Worlds.
I know.
And then, of course, the internet's like, oh, gravel's done.
Yeah.
It's just jump the shark. It's just Fonzie jumping over the shark wearing a leather jacket.
That's like when, was it Black Flag? I think it was Black Flag, played Saturday Night Live.
Oh, they were on Saturday Night
Live. Was it Black Flag or it wasn't Suicidal Tendencies? Oh shoot! It was I can't remember now. Dang it! It was a punk, like it was a hardcore West Coast band.
Oh, all right.
And John Belushi was a fan.
Oh,
and he was the one that got them on, but only at the end.
Huh. It wasn't like their normal musical segment.
No,
it was
like no, because they were scared, you know, of what would happen. Was it?
I don't know if it was Black Flag.
Oh.
Do they have a TV
dang
party?
Dang it. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, yeah. Then punk was dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much over. Gravel's over.
Did you have any mechanical difficulties?
Not really. No, I had to make some adjustments, but nothing, Nothing terrible. No broken. This was not like me battling the elements. I know these roads pretty well.
No so. Flats.
No flats. Nope.
Gulo composite wheels.
Yeah. Oh, they performed wonderfully.
Good. And performed what was your tire and selection?
I was running a Specialized Pathfinder with a, I think a 40 or 42 on the front and a 38 on the rear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of those tires, though. I'm going to admit, I've since switched.
To what?
Ramblers. Maxxis Ramblers. You know what I don't like? I don't like the knob. The knobs are there's a lot of rubber on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of tall. And on pavement, when you really are jamming a downhill,
uh-huh,
you get this like sway,
yeah,
in the rubber that you don't get with a lower knob tire.
What pressure did you run?
I generally will run like 28, 26, something like that.
Front and rear.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of sealant do you use?
Oh. I don't even remember the name of the sealant, but it was marketed as you won't need to replace it. It's all hooey.
Ever? Yes, you do need to replace
it. Yeah, you always, like, there's all sorts of, there's so many different sealants, and I've tried a bunch of them. I'm a fan of Orange Seal. I like Orange Seal.
Yeah. You need to replace your sealant, and I'm telling you, I did a race in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago, a Criterium, and my teammate hit the deck. Well, he broke his hand. His front tire, tubeless, Envy. Yeah. Envy, uh-huh, wheel, and I think it was an Envy rim and tire, or is a Zip wheel and Envy tire. It was an Envy tire.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit a little lip of a sewer lid.
Mm-hmm.
And that front tire went bam like that.
Wow. So did it pull off? Did it like burp or pull off the rim? Or yeah. Road tires, I'm not ready to go tubeless road tires because there's just not that much volume.
I that's all I think I would think about going down a super steep hill.
Yeah.
Like, and around a corner, like that happened to him. It went bam, bam. He hit the ground hard.
Yeah. Once you lose a little, the volume's so low, you burp. You lose, yeah, all your tire loses some integrity.
It loses all of its integrity.
Yeah.
But, and that, so anyway, it was like the scene in Breaking Away where you're picking him up off the pavement and cleaning him up and taking him home. And I looked at the tire and I was like, is there sealant in this thing? It was all like just dried.
Yeah.
I don't know if fresh sealant would have helped, but couldn't have hurt.
Not if you got, I mean, you run into that same thing with tubulars in a sewer grade or something. I mean, they can, tubulars can get separated from the rim in a situation.
Yeah. Like that. I'm very, very happy with my tubulito. Those are the orange inner tube.
Mm-hmm.
They don't lose pressure like latex. They're lighter than latex. And I swear it has the same feel as running. Yeah, I'm running nice latex. Vittoria. I think it feels the same as a tubular.
Hmm.
Even, and I'm running low pressure, 28C, and they feel great.
Hmm. Cool. Is it a butyl?
No.
It's not butyl. So it's not latex and it's not butyl. What is it?
I don't know what it is. Look it up. I think it's German. I think it's German.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
They're orange. Maybe you've seen them. They're orange and they feel like they don't stretch at all. It's really a strange material.
Oh,
they're
that is weird.
Expensive, really expensive.
Hmm.
And I flatted two of them, but I do have a special patch kit and I had to watch a German show me how to patch Maybe they're Dutch. I'm not sure.
Sounds like a cool product. I'd have to see it, but I don't. I mean, my road bike is the only thing I run tubes in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not ready for tubeless. And I hear, and people try and tell me, oh, yeah, you know, Quickstep is running specialized tubeless tires. I'm like, bullshit. They're not. There's no, I don't think so. I really don't. I think they're running tubes.
You think they're running tubes? I don't know. I don't know. Because it's, yeah, some of the.
Look at Alaphilippe's bike.
Okay.
There's a photo spread in it, on it, in Velonews today, I think. And I was looking at the valve, and I'm like, that's not a tubeless.
Oh, really?
Valve.
Is there no nut or anything?
Yeah. It doesn't look tubeless to me.
Huh. All right. I didn't watch the man's or the road, but I did watch some. The World Cup mountain bike circuit came to the United States.
I watched that. Year. I watched the. I didn't watch the short track. I watched the long one.
The cross country. Yeah.
Cross country.
What did you think of that?
Awesome. That's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Tom Pidcock. Now I can't remember who won. Oh, an American.
Yeah. Blevins.
Bennett or Blevins. Yeah.
Blevins. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was really, really good.
Okay. So did you watch the World Championship man's short track race?
He won that too, didn't he?
He won that. And it was such a, if you watch the world, it was a bit of like watching a crit finish.
Uh-huh.
Like, because you knew, you know, I'm sure his coaches are like, no, it's not a race to the finish. It's a race to the last corner.
Uh-huh.
You know, get to the last corner. And you look at the positioning and the, like, whoop, you know, how all that worked. As it was like watching a crit. And same with the man's world cross country, where Schurter beat his compatriot, his Swiss compatriot, on like the last, you know, couple turns.
Mm-hmm. I did notice they're running really, really wide handlebars. Yeah. Did you know? I mean, I'm not, as you know, like super mountain biker, but if they see, I didn't, in the short track, same thing, wide handlebars.
Yeah, they're riding the same bike. Like, that's the thing. You have to ride the same bike in the short track that you ride in the cross country.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, so that's one of the rules.
Yeah. And then that sets your staging position.
Ah.
So the motivation to do well in the short track is to get a front line start or front row start.
Got it. And did you see Vanderpool just eat it in the over, that wasn't the World Cup here in the States. That was the
Olympics.
In the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was all the hubbub is Vanderpool stacking it off of that drop.
Yeah, expecting a ramp to be there or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so you have to run the same equipment in the short track and the cross country. Why are the bars so wide?
Well, you know, it's a bunch of things. And I know, I mean, believe me, I still have a mountain bike from the 90s where it's like 42.
We cut the bars down.
right. Where it's like, I might as well be riding a road bike. But, you know, one thing that, you know, just simplistically, one thing that has happened, and you look at the stems, they're short. The bike is long, like the frame is long and the stem is short. And the wider bar kind of also, like if you move your arms out, your torso moves forward a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say it's a one-to-one thing, but it all works together. Like that whole set, believe me, I'm like, oh, what am I doing? 80 millimeters? It's crazy.
I mean, like, I think the obvious things, leverage, like when you're standing up, but then you see him like going slowly uphill, and it's like, I was like, how can you breathe when you're like, you know, your hands are stretched out. It looks uncomfortable in some situations.
No, it's actually really comfortable. I now at this point, I would never go with narrower bars.
Huh.
Yeah.
And, yeah. In the World Cup in West Virginia, the, you could really see them use the dropper post.
Yeah.
Like they all would drop down at the same point in the course.
Bloop, bloop. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and I think part of that is also is a bit of geometry too. And that those bikes with that stable geometry kind of, I think, you know, aside from making it more stable going down chunky stuff, I think it also helps you turn those uh-huh. bikes.
Huh.
Yeah.
And they're all running big wheels.
Yeah, 29.
All 29s.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, every couple years, but they're working on other stuff now. Like now, what you see people running are a mullet.
You can run two different wheel sizes?
Yeah. Well, if you're tubeless, I mean, there's no reason not to. And now, like this year, you're seeing some real development in a mullet. And even some of them in the World Cup were running a mullet.
So bigger wheel in the back?
In the front.
In the front?
Yeah. It's not like your late 70s Chevelle.
Like a penny farthing.
Yes, it's basically, and then not fixed.
So you get more torque and faster acceleration with a smaller rear wheel. More
traction. Yeah, and if you think about it, it's rolling over stuff. A big wheel rolls over it better. But by the time you get to the rear wheel, most of the party's gone. You know, it's not such a big deal to get a rear wheel over stuff,
uh-huh.
as it is a front wheel.
Huh. I get it with the advent of disc brakes, that's easier to adjust for also.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no difference. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no difference at the hub or at the, you know, kind of from the hub to the brake, brake mount.
In other equipment news, Shimano new group 12 speed.
Yeah.
They seem to be going to a simple offering. They are doing away with mechanical.
For Dura-Ace.
And Altegra.
And Altegra. Okay.
And you can get three different cranks, chainring setups. You can get a 54-40.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a 50. Hold on. Do I have this right? 50.
I think I know what you're getting.
54-40, 52, 36. No, you can get a 54-40, a 50. I think they did away with the 53-39. No, 53.
No, that is what they did away with.
Yeah, 53-39. No more 53-39. 54-40, 52-36, maybe those are just the two. And maybe a 50.
You might be able to do a 50-34 or something like that.
And then the cassettes, 11-28, 11-32, 11-34.
Can you imagine
that's it.
All these discussions in the Shimano boardroom? Like, oh no, we should have an 11-34. No, can't do that. No, we're not going to do that. How about a 36? No.
The 54, now the 54, okay, so that those are changes. The other change is you can go wireless, but you don't have to. If you go wireless, it reduces your battery life, but you can't, and you can go wireless, semi-wireless from the shifters, but there's still wires to the derailleurs, but it's wireless from the shifters back to the rear derailleur. The whole brains are in the rear derailleur now.
Yeah.
What were the other changes?
I think that, so John, I'm going to pause you there. The whole thing, like from 1990 to 2005, uh-huh. I mean, the ubiquitous chain set, 5339.
Yes.
They don't even make it anymore.
No. And I remember when compact cranks, like I ride a 5238.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have on my bike right now. And I remember when, I don't know, you might still have been here, when we got, I think we had campy groups and we had like a 5036 and people were like, oh, what do you do? You know?
Right. Yeah. I remember I had an FSA compact.
And people were like, oh, you're running, you know, what's wrong?
What are you, where are you, your puny legs?
Yeah. Yeah. And now you can't get smaller than a 28.
Yeah.
For a cassette.
For a cassette in the rear. Yeah.
I
look
do.
At your, look at your puny gully legs. And you're running your 5034.
Right. It's a real badge of honor to him.
And you know what else? Okay. So you know what else I don't have in my house anymore, John? A phone book. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I thought that. I mean, when I read about the news of the new Durace, I was like, "Wow, I cannot believe they do not even offer a 5339." But things change. It makes sense. It actually makes sense.
I think if I got the group, I'd do the same as I'm doing now. But I can't get a 38. You have to get a 36. You can go 5236.
Mm.
I think there's some aftermarket companies that make a 38.
Yeah. Or you could just go full macho and go 54.
Well, if you go the 5440, then I'd have to go, like when I go to France, I'd have to go with the 1130, whatever the biggest one is.
Right.
It would look cool though.
Well, you'd be like, yeah, that's right.
The chain rings like all the way out to the edge of the crank arm. Because I ride 170s.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing. Aren't more people riding 170s now?
Why not?
Certainly not riding 180s.
No, not like Miguel Indurain. And so what else? So they reshape the levers.
It's a nice looking group. Cranks a little different. Rear derailleur looks a little different.
I was expecting more. Little bit more of a redesign.
Are you ever expecting them to actually make a carbon crank?
No.
No. There's
no. Right. And I don't want a car. I've had a carbon crank before. I don't want a carbon crank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Those cranks are light. Carbon doesn't hold up well, especially in the crank. The crank gets beat up.
Yeah. Yeah. I know my car, I have carbon cranks on mountain bikes and they get smashed.
Yeah.
And I can't believe they haven't broken, but they do get smashed. And every time it's a little scary.
I am disappointed that it doesn't seem other than it seemed like, oh, but don't worry, we've thought of you. You don't have to buy new wheels. Like the 12 speed will fit. And it's like, oh, thanks. But that's pretty much the only thing that's cross compatible.
Yeah.
You can't reprogram, like a shifter is just like a keyboard.
So that I didn't know. You can't put like a new shifter on an old rear Mac. It's gotta be, it's the whole group. Like they all work together.
Well, you can't reprogram an old shifter to be 12 speed.
Oh.
And why not?
It's just a button. It goes boop, boop.
Right.
Boop. Why? Yeah, I don't know. That's going to.
You can't.
Mm.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. So in other news of Time Marching On, the last World Tour team is now on disc breaks.
Oh, yeah. They framed it in the past like it was a function thing. But as soon as Pinarello released the FD1 or whatever they call it, like, right. Oh, this is the best bike ever. We love disc brakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, didn't, I thought UAE rode rim brakes too.
Yeah, I think they were doing rim brakes, but I think they were also doing disc.
We'll see if maybe they'll be the last holdout.
I think they've converted their converts.
And, you know, Factor, notably, is one of those companies that still produce their high-end bikes in both disc and rim brake. Mm-hmm. As do Colnago, I don't know about Merckx. But you don't see Israel Startup Nation riding rim brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think they're not... the Shimano, I guess the what I'm getting around to is I don't think that the Durace, that's disc brakes. I don't think they're doing rim brakes anymore. They're not developing rim brakes, I should say. It's if you want rim brakes, you can ride the old ones.
Mm.
I don't think they're not developing them.
Discs are the future.
Yep. The transformation is nearly complete.
You will assimilate.
Oh, all right. In all seriousness, John, it's the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and we've just had our Pagan Fall Festival, where we celebrated equal days, light, daylight, and darkness, and now we're in more darkness than light. Do you have any special coping techniques for this?
Alcohol and medical marijuana.
All right. And podcasting.
Do some sit-ups, planks.
You gonna blast the quads this winter in the gym?
Dust off the Wahoo kicker.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you know what? I don't hear people talk about, Zwift? Over Zwift. Yeah.
No. It's almost Zwift season, John.
It's almost Zwift. Okay. All right. So also I'm a little bit out of touch of this, but is the OVCX, will there be a cross season this year?
Yeah, it started last week.
Okay, cool.
And, the Kings, is in this whatever the US Pro Cyclocross calendar. Rochester happened last week. Yeah. And then Charm City. And then what's it called? Jingle Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Jingle Cross, then Charm City. And then Kings, 2 day at Kings.
Cool.
And all right. I will be down with you for that weekend.
Oh,
I won't even be here.
Wow, that's a big deal. That's a change. Well, so what are you doing here?
I'm going to go to school for a week, and then I'm going to come eat all the food in your refrigerator.
Excellent. That'll be great. Well, hopefully we'll be able to take you to the Cedar Mountain Outpost so you can sample the fine fuels offered by the Cedar Mountain Outpost and enjoy a delicious shot of espresso pulled from the La Marzocco Linea.
I would love that to visit cedarmountainoutpost.com.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. So is this the, do I need to put the bat signal out to Josh
Whitmore? Oh boy. for what part of it? Well, I will have just, I'll be a newly certified, wilderness paramedic. So yeah, bring it on. Anybody gets hurt, I can package them up and get them out of there.
Well, I do have a little develop. So John, I have now gone on, I've been an assistant guide on two mountain bike trips.
Nice.
Yeah. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm. You see Josh work his magic?
It was not with Josh, actually. Oh, okay. This is totally independent of that. So, yep. Guide life.
It's fun.
Like that. It is fun.
I like guiding stuff.
Yeah, it is fun. And
helping,
it's cool
helping to show people have their best days.
That's right. So maybe we should do a celebrity invite only to John's podcast guiding trip when you're in.
Let's do it.
In Western Carolina.
We'll have all of the, we'll have everything covered, all the bases. Josh can cover all the bike, handling stuff. You can cover all the bike maintenance stuff. I'll cover all the medical emergencies. Oh,
body maintenance.
Yeah. And then Mrs. K can cover all the fueling needs.
Right. Yeah. That'd be great. I think we've got it worked out. So.
Okay. And I'll bring my lederhosen.
It'll still be October, so it's still appropriate, I guess. Oh, and by the way, many congratulations to the Cincinnati Bengals for defeating the Steelers.
It's like Ben Roethlisberger, he's been hexed with something that's just slowly making him more and more immobile. Like he can't move out of the way anymore. He got sacked, I don't know, multiple times. He tried. He threw 50 some passes. He tried. Poor Steelers.
Yeah.
Poor I know Steelers. We have some Steelers fans that listen to this podcast, so suck it. Steeler fans.
That's funny. Oh, all right. Well, I think that's all I've got. And now, I want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers. I know we had a new one. I think it was the Shoeless Puma. Shout out to the Shoeless Puma.
Was it the Shoeless Puma?
I think it was the Shoeless Puma.
Nice.
I don't think we have any listener feedback, and I don't think we have any interview suggestions. And we did not put the bat signal out for call-ins.
We do have one here. Let's see. Hello. Would you might be interested in acquiring an email list of bicycle shops and sporting goods shops across the USA? We can also provide mailing lists based on your target criteria. Interested? Call me back. I'd love to provide more information, like a few samples, counts, pricing, and details for your review. And he's followed up. He's awaiting our response.
Okay. So if we give him the Presta coffee listener feedback of the week, we just wait for him to respond to us.
Yeah.
Hey, you win. You win the Presta coffee listener feedback of the week. Yeah. Once you hear this podcast, contact us and we'll make arrangements.
No, I think we do have an email here.
Do we?
Yeah. Formally speaking?
I don't know. Actually, I'm on a different computer. I don't have our email set up.
Formally speaking, hi, summer greetings from the deep south. With the Delta variant cutting a swath across Mississippi, as well as Ulysses S. Grant's ever did, cycling is even more therapeutic than it would be otherwise. I rejoined group rides this summer, and after well more than a year of riding alone, I've been struck again by the wide variety of styles and techniques of my fellow riders. As a former high school and college place kicker, a position whose practitioners can be as finicky about form as any, I want to ask you, two Johns, what are, in your opinions, essential aspects of sound cycling form? Please assume reasonably good equipment and a decent bike fit. Best wishes and safe riding, the second half cyclist.
You know what, John?
Ooh.
Interesting.
Wow.
If this is the second, so one of the guys that was on a guided trip, kicker. He's a collegiate, 4-year collegiate kicker.
No way.
Yep.
Really? This is not the same person though.
This is not the same person.
Okay. So what, oh, interesting. Okay.
Is that interesting? Yeah. Okay.
And
athlete.
What, so this collegiate, was he a place kicker or was he a punter?
He did both, but he preferred punting, far more strategic.
Was one of his legs like just giant compared to the other ones?
That's what I was asking him. I said, do you have imbalance? And he does have imbalance issues.
Sure.
Yeah, like back problems. Mm-hmm. Also known as back problems. Yeah, anyway, so I have one word, John, for this technique that the second half cyclist.
Yes.
Suppleness.
Okay.
You can tell somebody that's not supple and they're like stiff on the bike, you don't even want to ride near.
Yeah. Okay. So that's for suppleness. Okay.
Suppleness.
When I read this email, it made me think of, you know, a field goal kicker.
Okay.
Or when they kick off, they are very precise about like laces go the right way, put the ball down, step 2.5 steps to the side. And then,
oh, like back, the football laces.
Back. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then back, 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 you know, they get in the right spot. Then they swing one arm behind them and then they like, whoop, whoop, they do like the same thing every time.
It's a rhythm thing.
But like it starts with this whole order of doing things. And to me, the start of a cyclocross race is that I equate it to that because the start of a cyclocross race, you put your bike in the right gear based on the conditions. You turn, you clip into one side, you level the pedal however it's going to be so that when it comes around for that first rotation, your left foot just steps seamlessly right into it.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hands wherever they are. You know, some people start on the hood. Some people start on the drops. You position yourself on the bike like this. There's this whole ritual before you actually start. And that sort of form makes me think of that. And then like there's the form of, you know, the shape, the form that you're physically in. If you're time trialing or if you're trying to get aerodynamic on the bike, getting your head down, you know, turtling your head down below your shoulders. There's that form. And then of course the form, like you're saying, of suppleness, either pedaling or.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, John, this may be a little bit of a soapbox. Speaking of kickers, I think it's pretty amazing when you think of all the things that go on to have a successful field goal, punt, extra point, whatever. People just expect that to happen. Uh-huh. And when it doesn't happen, it's the exception to the rule.
Like the Steelers guy who had made 52 field goals in a row and missed one against the Bengals or extra point.
Just like that.
Suck it, Steelers.
Well, that guy just sucks anyways.
Yeah.
But think of all of the things that happen. You know, while there's like 11 people trying to kill the person kicking the ball.
Yeah. And you're like, one leg is way up in the air. And
right.
Oh, my. Talk about a vulnerable position.
Yeah. But, you know, people are like, oh, our dumb kicker. He missed that one field goal.
I like seeing like when it goes wrong and the kicker is not in that form and that rhythm anymore and has to like,
yeah,
and it's like, oh my gosh, the ball is not where it should be. And they like pick it up and they're trying to throw it so they don't get tackled or
and then you and you realize you're like, that kicker's actually a super, that guy is way more athletic than me.
And no, or you realize that guy is a kicker, that guy's not a football player.
but he's no, come on, those guys are at that level, they're still serious athletes.
Yes, no doubt about it.
It's not like you being out there, you would not be like much better, if at all. Actually, there's zero chance you'd be better.
Is the kicker a football player? Is he just a kicker?
The kicker's a football player.
I don't know. I think.
Is it a football game?
Yes.
You can't exclude.
Oh, that he's the ultimate football player because he's the only one that uses his foot.
Uses his foot, right?
That's true.
I mean, don't call it football and then say the kicker's not a member of the team.
Why do they call it football? And mostly it's not football.
I don't know.
Is it because they're running?
I don't know.
Huh. That's misnamed.
Why do they call the a Ford Mach 1 a Mach 1? It certainly doesn't do Mach 1.
Mach 1.
Okay. All right.
That was it. That was our email.
I'm sticking with suppleness. I don't want to ride. You know, it's always somebody that's like top heavy or overly rigid is always like, I think I'm going to ride around somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for the email. Thank you for the support. Thank you for your thoughts.
and thanks for listening. And we'd like to thank Google Composites for supporting the podcast. So go to googlecomposites.com. Look for more information on composite spoke wheels. Excellent. So, John, when's your next ride?
Tomorrow, I hope.
Oh, good. Lucky. I've got a few days. I've got to go down to Laredo, Texas. The high tomorrow is 98.
Oh,
yeah.
Put on your cowboy boots and Stetson.
Yeah. Well, and I may also be on another podcast, however, not cycling related. So if any listeners out there want to play a little treasure hunt.
Intriguing.
Let's see if anybody can find it.
Let me see. So you're in the field of architecture,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to Texas. So are you helping to build that, John? Come on.
Actually, I'm very proud of my architectural profession, which the AIA put out a message. It's like, if you are an architect, do not participate in this effort.
In the wall build.
In the wall, but do not use your effort, your intellect, and your expertise to help with this.
We need some flyovers, like cyclocross flyovers over the wall.
Oh,
maybe you could build that.
We could do that. Sweet jumps.
All right. Have a good ride, everybody.
Yes. Thank you. Good. Good to podcast again, and we'll talk to you later.
Good talk, John. Good talk.
Yep.
Yo, you have been listening to the podcast. Want more of them? Follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/podcast or send us an email. Mm-hmm. Talk about. Enjoy your ride.
Oh, yeah.
Be safe. Get a real. Oh. And if you ride with us, please don't be a happy one.
TWOJOHNS.
Peace. We out.